After the sermon, let us sing Psalter 280, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Psalter 280, stanzas 1, 3, and 4, after the sermon. In verse 12 of Luke 13, we read those words. And when Jesus saw her, I hope you know what that means. And when Jesus saw him, her. If you don't know what that means, we prayed if the Lord would give you that experience this morning. That the Lord saw you. Or that the Lord would do it again this morning. He knows what's in your heart at this moment. He knows what you have to go through at this moment. What is it then? Mighty, wondrous miracle. If we would experience this morning again, or for the first time, receive such an encounter with the Lord Jesus this morning. Let us listen to God's word this morning with the expectation, the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let us dwell on this history. We write as a theme above the sermon this morning, Jesus redeems the bound. Jesus redeems the bound. Two thoughts. A woman bound by misery. And secondly, a Redeemer moved by mercy. Jesus redeems the bound. A woman bound by misery, a Redeemer moved by mercy. In our text, it is the day of the Sabbath. The weekly rest day, the day of rest after a week of daily work. On this holy day, the Lord is especially sought and worshipped. It's the main place for worship is his house, the tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem, where the sacrifices were, but also it was not possible for everybody to go to Jerusalem in the days of the Bible, especially if you lived far away from the temple. After the Babylonian captivity, several synagogues, several houses of the Lord were built in the villages and towns, even outside of Israel they were built. Synagogues are buildings where Jews would gather together during the week to receive instruction from the Old Testament, and scholars would discuss God's word with each other, and on the Sabbath day in special, the meetings were held to teach from God's holy word. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus does in our text. From Luke 4, verse 16, we know that it is according to his habit. It's according to his custom. And he is not alone there at that moment in the synagogue. No, more people have the good habit to come in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day to gather, to listen to the word of God and the application of that word to their hearts. As like we gather together this day, and this morning in special. And then we read in verse 11 our attention is drawn to a certain person who is also present in the synagogue. Let us read it in verse 11. Boys and girls, if you are able to read, read with me. Verse 11, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up." And behold, that means you have to look carefully. Look, behold. Yeah, it's not very difficult. It's so obvious. What is so obvious? Well, it's so striking. Look at that woman. You can see it if you shut your eyes and think about it. And what Scripture says of this woman, look at her in your mind. This lady is all bent over. She is so unhappy. Look at her, children. What is her problem? Well, she's bent all the way down, and she can in no way straighten up her back. So the whole day, day after day, month after month, year after year, 18 years long, this lady has to walk on the earth with her head bowed down and she can't look up. How long has she had this infirmity? How long has she been sick? I said it already. 18 years. How can this woman hold up in this difficult way of her life? How can this woman keep carrying this heavy cross in her life? How could this have happened? How does this happen in the lives of this woman, children? Was she born this way? Was she born this miserable, this way and this unhappy way? No, no. We read it very, it's pretty straightforward. She has received a spirit of infirmity. That means an evil spirit had made her sick. We read it in verse 16. The Lord Jesus says that Satan had bound this woman for 18 years. What does that mean? Does this mean that this woman is a greater sinner than others? I don't think so. You're right. It's true. Sickness, misery, suffering, and death came into the world through sin in general. But there is no indication here that the woman is a notable sinner. I'm rather inclined to believe the opposite of this woman, because she's still there in that synagogue with that miserable, crooked back. And even after 18 years, she's still in the synagogue. No, God, in his unfathomable wisdom, has allowed Satan to bind this woman through sickness. And I hope we may all apply these words to ourselves, to you and me, who are experiencing something of the boundness that can be laid upon our lives. Like in the life of Job, God had allowed Satan to bind Job into misery, sorrow, and suffering. We see this morning a woman bound by misery. Now it's time to draw some lines of application. First of all, we see very practically that the Lord Jesus does not stay away from the synagogue. Not even because the things may not go quite as he would like to see them in the synagogue. He does not stay home to choose a sermon to read for himself, a sermon to his liking, no. He doesn't stay home to listen to a different congregation. He doesn't choose to which rabbi he would want to listen, Rabbi X or Rabbi Y, who may or may not speak clearly. No, he sanctifies the day of the Lord, the day of rest, and he goes to the synagogue as usual. Shall we follow his good habit? Next, we also see that even this woman's miserable, bent, and painful bondage does not prevent her from coming to God's house to listen to God's word. Just think about the discomfort and the embarrassment. Young people, imagine walking and not being able to look up. Should you just let this woman cross the street and go to God's house? Think about the pain she would have. Congregation, it's grace to bear that what is laid upon us. And it is grace to carry it also without grumbling. What do you think? Would this woman be satisfied with a live stream? I don't think so. Maybe she would ask the custodian for a cushion, or maybe he would have a special chair for her. But regardless, all costs, she wants to come together with the others to listen to God's word. What is this woman an embarrassing example for many of us? Oh, I have a headache. I don't feel so well. I'll just stay home this evening or this morning. Oh, we have a live stream. We can just listen in. That doesn't matter. Who cares? We'll just stay home. I'm a bit tired. You know what Ryle says on this passage? Let us never forget that our feelings about Sundays are sure tests of the state of our souls. The man who can find no pleasure in giving God one day in the week is manifestly unfit for heaven. Congregation, let us sanctify the day of rest Let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves, but come joyfully under God's word, if it is at all possible. But let us also make some spiritual applications this morning. For this history does not only show us that the Lord Jesus came to heal the sick and all kinds of diseases. No, he came firstly and foremostly to take away the cause of disease, namely sin. Christ's healing of this miserably bound woman is given here as an example of the spiritual redemption we all need if it is to be well for eternity. Just as this woman bent towards the earth, she doesn't see anything but the earth, and she doesn't see anything but herself. That's our natural spiritual state. We look unto the earth. We look unto everything in this world. We are ego-centered. And we are not also because of our sickness, but because of our sin, bend towards the earth. As long as we remain unconverted, we are mainly focused on the things here below. Many, or maybe it is most of us, don't even realize that we are bound with the bonds of spiritual death. We think that we more or less at the mercy and whim of uncontrollable circumstances. You can't do anything about it. You just have to see how you get through this world. And therefore, many of us in a natural state primarily seek the pleasures of this world, of here and now. And then the goal of our life is only focused on the things that are perishable. How many of us are walking in spiritual bondage like this woman was physically? How many powerful calls, how many earnest sermons, how many sweet invitations of the gospel have already come unto you? Oh, perhaps your shock and distress, your need has been revealed unto you. Oh, perhaps your experience of your sorrow, that you may have no true humility, that you may not have a true broken heart. Oh, perhaps you experience that you don't have a contrite spirit. You notice to your despair that you cannot even rise up yourselves in this world that is dying. You can't look up to heaven. You can't look up to the Lord. It's all so impossible. Maybe you find you're bound by Satan. And perhaps you experience that you're bound for so long already. You are a person bound by misery. But God's children can also feel themselves bound again by all kinds of circumstances after having experienced grace. Literally, bound through illness. You heard in the last week, prepare yourself to meet the eternal God. Maybe you're bound by sorrow, suffering under the things that are come into your life, literally, but maybe also figuratively, through the remaining bosom sin in you, or the ignorance. Maybe you experience that you are compassed by the sorrows of death. And then to experience to be unable to raise yourself up at all. Then you are a person bound by misery. Oh, how do you get out of that? Congregation, how indispensable is redemption from above needed for all of us? For the first time in our lives, if we are still unconverted, but also time and again, if we may know by grace to be converted by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In what way do I get deliverance from these bonds? Is that your question this morning? Listen. In the way of the Word, from a Redeemer moved by mercy. Our second point. Oh, how miserably bound can you feel yourself? Or not? Or don't you feel yourself bound at all? Do you feel yourself free? Oh, may the Holy Spirit then open up your eyes to see how you really are this morning, bound. And how long can it last? Aren't we more miserable when we don't realize that we are bound? That's much more serious. That is by nature our greatest misery. Namely, that we don't know our misery rightly. Whether the woman in our text also feels physically and or mentally miserable, we don't even know. We don't read anything of that. That was my interpretation till now. A woman bound in misery. We don't know if she really feels that way. What we do know is that she is miserable. Why? Because the Lord sees her that way. Well, does this fact not give us courage this morning for deliverance? How so? Well, because here it becomes clear that feeling miserable or knowing that you are miserable are no preconditions for salvation. Maybe you came to God's house this morning not even knowing that you were bound by sin and that you will die an eternal death as an unconverted person. And maybe you're not even bowed down by that this morning. You don't feel the misery of that life. But the Lord does see you like that. and he pleases to look upon you this morning. This misery-bound woman is not redeemed by anything from her, because she feels something or she doesn't feel something. No, she does not come to Jesus. It's not the case that she seeks Jesus, that she seeks to attract his attention. No, it's the other way around. Jesus is drawn by her misery. Jesus comes unto her in the way of his infallible providence. He's there in the synagogue, and he is drawn to her misery. The initiative comes from him. See, people can counsel each other. And that's nice, that's beautiful. We have to do that also as a church family in such circumstances. One could say, well, you should do this. And another should say, no, you shouldn't have done that. You should do this. You should read that sermon, or you should pray about this or that. You need to believe. You need to repent. You need to hope. You need to trust. But congregation, this woman could not raise herself up. She did not have any strength. She couldn't do anything. And now that is true. And now what is true of this woman physically, in physical life, is also true in spiritual life. She's bent over. She cannot see Jesus. How could she ever see Jesus? So bent over she is. See? Then you really start to experience the deadliness of your spiritual state. Impossible to see Jesus from my side. Then you can no longer seek. Then you can no longer pray. Then you can no longer endure your anguish. Then you don't know at all anymore. And according to your own perception, you cannot no longer be saved. It's so totally impossible. I can't. You're so completely stuck. Then you really find out you can't get up. And not only at the beginning of spiritual life, but also progressively. Is it a lost cause then, beloved congregation? Yes. From man's side, it's a lost cause. But not from God's side. For Jesus is coming to the world to seek and to save what was lost. We don't have to do anything. We just need to be there where he reveals himself. In his house. Most unexpectedly and most surprisingly, God comes at his time. Sometimes after a long time. Again. Is he also coming to you and to me this morning? Can you hear his voice? Maybe you may see his eyes. And he saw her, and he saw him. Verse 12, we read it. And when Jesus saw her, congregation, isn't that a miracle? Please let us meditate on those words at home. Unasked for the Almighty, eternal God sees this woman's misery. That is an incomprehensible miracle for someone who comes to a spiritual end with himself. And gets to realize her or his own mortal state before God. Then you can no longer just sit under the word in unbelief. No! Then you start to understand through God's Holy Spirit that God himself has an eye on you in his word. That he looks for you, that he speaks to you, that he calls you himself this morning. Oh, then you can't comprehend that miracle. You didn't even prepare yourself to meet him this morning, maybe. What a powerful one-sided love of God is shown unto us this morning. And if we may see that, oh, it emanates from that. That breaks my heart for a first or again. And when Jesus saw me, come. Please, can you say that this morning? Does the Lord hear that in your heart at this moment? And when the Lord saw me, yeah, that one time when the Lord came into my life and converted me. Oh, but maybe for this morning, you may say it with a heart full of wonder. Lord, thou lookest upon me this morning. Me? How in the world is it possible, Lord? Me, such a depraved sinner? In daily life, it's such a great blessing when fellow human beings do not ignore you. But have an eye for your misery. How much more does it comfort a soul when it perceives that Jesus sees it in the way of the preaching of his word. I know you. I see your bounds. And when Jesus saw me, oh, that God's Spirit may fill us with humility and amazement this morning. at the fact that God also sees our misery here under the word. He is moved with inner compassion and mercy towards us. And what a wonder that when he sees us, he does not remain silent. But speaks. And when he starts speaking unto us, that he does not rebuke, that he does not accuse, that he does not condemn, but he provides redemption. For what does the Lord Jesus say to that wretched one in our text? Woman, thou art loosed from thine iniquity. Congregation, is that what she was after? No. Did she expect that? No. And yet it befalls her. Young people, do we see why we should never miss any opportunity to be under God's word? This woman is addressed very personally. As it were, she is called by her name, woman. Man, boy, girl. She is addressed by her name because the Lord knows her. The Lord knows what's going on in her heart. The Lord knows what's going on in her life. In the same way, God knows each and every one of us this morning. He sees our sins. He sees and he knows our longings. He knows our sorrows. He knows our pains. He knows our bondage. And so he calls us. Is it you that is addressed by God this morning? Are you the one who is called by your name, by the word of God this morning? Oh, then nothing and no one can stop you. That calling is irresistible. God's word has such power, it becomes a hook inextricably fastened in your heart. Nothing will ever erase that from my mind. What does God say? Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What does God do? He laid his hands on her. And then, what happens? Well, what Christ said. And immediately, she was made straight. Look, beloved congregation, carefully to what is happening here and in which order it takes place. Everything comes from the side of the Lord Jesus. He takes the initiative. He speaks. He lays his hands on her. He takes the bondage upon himself. He redeems. Now that is what you call a one-sided work of God, or not? This is how God justifies the wicked. Thus God forgives and reconciles sinners bound by Satan. His his voice is powerful. As God spoke at creation, "There be light," so he speaks to us this morning. "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Then the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and live. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. How is that possible? Well, that's a miracle in which Christ reveals and declares himself to the debt-removing surety. Christ comes and takes over the wretched bondage of the woman and will soon carry it away to Calvary. There, on Calvary, lies the ground for and the explanation of this miracle. It is the meritorious work of Christ. See him, congregation, laden with this woman's bondage. He carries it as a bound from Gethsemane to Gabbatha. Did he do it for you? See him bow to the earth under the burden of the cross. Did he do that for you? See him burdened under the wrath of God and suffering the heat of God's anger because of sin. Your sins, my sins. See him dead and with all his people's bondage entered into death and into the grave. But see him also who conquered and defiled death and the grave. He has left the bonds of death and hell in the grave to secure eternal redemption and deliverance for those who are bound. And immediately she was made straight. Salvation does not come from us, congregation. The Lord's redemption extends beyond prayer and thinking. He makes his word true before they call. I will answer. He redeems this woman. She is loosed. She is set free. Immediately. At once. Made straight. Completely straight. Not bit by bit. Not half-half. No. The wretched bent over lady stands up straight. And boys and girls, what does the lady see? Think about it. What does she see? Well, she always saw the ground. She was always bent over. And now she is lifted up and straightened her back. What does she see? Well, him who first saw her. Well, then you know who it is. It was he who looked upon her in her misery. And she is lifted up. And what does she see? Him who was moved with mercy towards her. It is he that laid his hands upon her.
And how does she react? How do you react? How do I react this morning if that happens under God's word and the preaching thereof? And she glorified God. Isn't that beautiful? She praises God. She honors him and makes his name glorious because of his grace, because of his mercy. But is she doing it right? Because who was standing before her? The Lord Jesus, right? And shouldn't it be better that we would read, and she glorified the Lord Jesus? No, beloved congregation. She sees it very clearly. It is by God's Holy Spirit that this lady may see farther and see deeper. And she glorified God. She sees in Jesus the gift of God the Father, for God so loved the bound world that he gave his Son Jesus, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wouldn't you then not start to sing? Or are you still bound? Are you still haunted by death? Do you fear that you will soon perish, lost forever? Don't you know what to do? Can't you believe? You can't see the Lord. You're bowed down still yet. It's good to confess that we cannot do anything for our own salvation. But it's not good not to believe God's holy and infallible word, his own word. Now, if you say, it's impossible for me, it's impossible for me, then I may say, as a servant of the Lord this morning, Jesus is calling you. And he can do it. Oh, listen to his call. For he has also said it. How often would I have gathered you and your children together? Oh, that his voice may be heard in our hearts, and that we may receive boldness through the Spirit of God and answer. Maybe with a trembling heart, Lord, behold, here I am. Amen.